Thanksgiving has passed, and we are only a couple weeks away from Christmas. And I told you last week, I love Thanksgiving, but Christmas is kind of the holiday, you know, whatever you want to call it, that I love the most. I love the you know, just the change in the weather, which this to me is usually the as far as we go. I mean, any colder than this, we'll see about that. But anyways, at least down in Florida, it was, you know, about 20 degrees warmer than this, but anyways, but I love the change of weather, the you know the leaves have fallen now, and it's just the whole atmosphere, the Christmas lights everywhere. I always just love Christmas. But there's one side of Christmas I just don't like, and it's shopping for people. It's frustrating. Who's gotten all their Christmas shopping done? Has anyone gotten their Christmas shopping done? All right, you only have 4 weeks left, guys, so you gotta step it up. So, well, neither have I. Well, this year, I did something I never do. I had the family over, my parents, my sister. My sister's here today. But we celebrated Thanksgiving together. And we ate around, you know, one or two, and we had kind of gotten tired of each other, so we wanted to get out of the house. Well, there's not much to do for, you know, on Thanksgiving Day. Well, I was like, we're in the middle of nowhere. Black Friday the early Black Friday shopping. No one's going to be there. We'll just go there and, you know, hang out for a little while. Well, we were wrong. there's like what? Six? Yeah. There's like 6,000 people in our county, and I think they were all at Walmart. And so, anyways, it was packed, but we still, you know, we went out, we went shopping. I think we had one or two items on our Christmas list, which were like tennis shoes or something. I don't know. It was not worth going out to Walmart at on that, you know, Thursday evening. But anyways, so it was a neat experience. I've done it now. I'll never do it again. But anyway, so it's I don't enjoy shopping for people. And I realize the past couple years has kind of set in. The reason why I don't like it is not me. Because usually I'm Christmas Eve going out shopping, or even if, you know, you're going to see them after Christmas, I'll wait till I get the Christmas sales, you know. But anyways, I tend to wait till the last minute. But I realize it's not my fault. And I hope you guys can be encouraged by this as well. It's their fault. Some people are just horrible gift idea people. They don't give you anything. There's three types of people I've realized. The first one is a person who has everything. So you go through every idea, everything you can think of to get a present for them. And it's like, no, they already got that. No, they don't need that. They have that. You know, you can never figure out what they want. Those people frustrate me. I don't know. I don't think there's anyone in our family who has that one. But the second one is my mom. She doesn't know what she wants at all. Period. I mean, we sat through every catalog, pointed at every single thing. There wasn't a single thing she wanted. And it's just so frustrating. So there's nothing, I mean, you can just kind of go out and pick out a candle. I mean, that's kind of what you end up with. And so, but anyways, that's my mom. And then the third option is a person who, he knows exactly what they want. They know exactly what they want, but you can't afford any of it. Which is just the worst. When it's like, hey, I want all these things. Like, well, I don't have $1,000 to spend on you. I'm sorry. But anyways, those kind of people, they're the reason why Christmas is so frustrating sometimes, isn't it? It's not me. I'm not the reason why I'm so late. But, you know, it's their fault, right? Well, the Israelites are struggling with this idea of what to give, not just anyone, but what to give God. And they couldn't figure out what to give God. And so we're going to read about the story of what they were thinking of giving to God and what Micah tells them to give instead. You kind of see in the story this the same idea of, you know, of God, the Israelites thinking like this, that God is, you know, he already has everything. What else can we give him? He doesn't really tell them what he wants. And the third is, you know, everything he wants is just too expensive. It's almost the mentality the Israelites were having as we read in our text. And go ahead and turn to Micah chapter 6. And we're going to read verse 6 through 8. Micah chapter 6, 6 through 8. With what shall I come to the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come to him with burnt offerings, with yearling calves? Does the Lord take delight in thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I present my firstborn for my rebellious acts, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with your God. I mean, that's kind of what God's Christmas list is, if you want to think of God's Christmas list. But the Israelites, we went through the book of Judges, and we looked over and over at the Israelites continually to do what was evil in the sight of God. And here's another instance of the Israelites doing what was wrong. And so they're looking and trying to figure out how to make it right. How can they, you know, make right what they had done wrong? How can they give God the perfect gift to make everything perfect again, back to where it should be? So you kind of see the exaggeration of what goes on. They start off with a ram or a bull or a calf. You know, that's, you know, okay, is that what you want, God? Well, maybe that's not enough. Maybe we should go with a thousand rams. Maybe that would help, you know. Maybe that would be a gift appropriate to God. And that's not, it wasn't the first time to hear that. Solomon, when he became king, he sacrificed 1,000 rams. So that had happened before. Maybe that's what God wants. And then you get into the exaggerating, almost in a mocking way. Well, maybe we should get 10,000 rivers of oil. And of course, that's not something you can get, right? I've never seen a river of oil. I mean, the closest is BP's, you know, explosion. But I mean, other than that, that's, you know, which of course would probably be olive oil. But anyways, other than that, though, I mean, they're showing how absurd God was. Is this what you really want? I mean, is this your Christmas list? I mean, how can we possibly give you a gift like that? The Israelites' understanding of God was so distorted. They did not know who God was. They wanted to perform, you know, external formalities, go through the, you know, religious sacrifices and, you know, do what was the bottom line, basically, of we'll just make God happy. We'll, you know, make ourselves right in his eyes. None of that would be enough. The Israelites wanted to be right with God by giving him external things. They seek to make things even. But we see in Ephesians 2, verse 8, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Not by yourself, but is by the gift of God. The Israelites did not understand God. They didn't understand what God wanted for Christmas. No, not for Christmas, but for the situation. So they thought, you know, they would make things right. And Micah, you know, basically tells them what God wants. This, he lists it out very simply, to love mercy, love justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. He just spells it out for them. God didn't want all the formal traditions and all the sacrifices. He wanted something more, something that they could actually give. It's interesting, if you've ever given a gift to someone, it's you have to know the person you're giving the gift to. If you ever try to buy a gift for someone you don't know, it's hard. It's really hard. But if you know the person, it's much easier. So the Israelites did not understand who God was. So we're going to take a look at all three of the gifts that God has on his Christmas list, what we should give to God this year. The first is we should give God the gift of acting justly. We need to give God the gift of acting justly. Now, this is an action done to those around us. It's not, you know, an inward kind of heart thing, but it's more of an outward focus. It's a focus on the people that we come into contact with. Now, there's two sides to this gift. The first is, is that we need to have to understand what it means to be just. We have to understand what it means to be just. We don't know what being just is at all. How can we be just? Well, thankfully, God's word spells it out very clearly what justice looks like. And that's why we have the Old Testament. I like the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament, especially the law, to some degree. I haven't read it in years. But the thing I like most about the law is it shows you exactly what it means to be just, exactly what it means to be righteous, and how we're supposed to live our lives exactly. He spells out exactly how we should do it. And the Ten Commandments is a good summary of that. So the law spells it out what it means, what justice means. And, you know, if you remove the law, if you try to live outside of the law, but if you try to, you know, take yourself away from the law, or Christianity away from the law, you can't understand the next part, which is mercy. Without knowing what justice is and what is required of justice, you can't understand mercy. So we are supposed to act justly. We're supposed to follow God's word and see what justice is. The second side to the gift is that we have to act on it. We have to be people who are just. Proverbs 11:1 says, "The Lord detests dishonest scales, but accurate weights find favor with him." In your lives, do you act justly? Do you do things right? Or do you cheat people? Do you, skip on things? How do you live your life? Are you just? God desires for us to act justly. If anyone knows me, they know I love pranks. I probably haven't started doing too many pranks yet around here. Just wait. They'll come. But I love pranks. Growing up, I did countless pranks. My mom and snakes, I love that because it's just fun. So anyways, I love doing pranks. And I remember at Christmas time with my sisters, they were amazing gift guessers. They could figure out exactly what I gave them. Maybe they were looking at the receipts. I don't know. But they could figure out exactly what I gave them. So I would always wrap it in a way that was just, you couldn't figure it out. Or I would wrap something, stick under a tree, and there'd be nothing in it. So whatever I could do to hide my present. Because to this day, Chris is really bad. My older sister, she still tries to figure out, exactly what she's getting. And it's annoying. So anyway, so I would always try to hide things and try to make it in a way that was sneaky. Which, that's all fun and good. But when it comes to actually real things in life, we need to make sure we are honest. We've all probably heard the phrase, honesty is the best policy. But as Christians, honesty should be the only policy. This is a constant idea throughout Scripture of being honest, not to cheat other people, not to lie or deceive, but to speak the truth. Say yes, let your yes be yes, your no be no, as Jesus says. So we need to love or act justly. Secondly, we should give God the gift of loving mercy. We need to give the gift of loving mercy. Just like the first is the outward focus, is looking towards other people. Mercy is treating people with kindness, forgiving them for the things that they've done wrong. Even though you might be just in your verdict, you still show them mercy as you give them grace. Now, why does God want us to love mercy? Verse 1 says, act justly. Why aren't we supposed to act merciful? Why are we supposed to love mercy? Why choose love? Can you be merciful and not loving at the same time? Yeah, you can. You can do the right things, or you can be merciful to someone, but not do it in the correct way. You can do it for your self gain, or you can make yourself look good. There's a lot of things you can do. You can do things mercifully in a wrong way. The idea of loving mercy shows that you do it for the right reasons. It's not for yourself or anything like that. Let's go ahead and turn over to Luke chapter 11. We're going to read verse 10 through 14. Luke chapter 11, 10 through 14. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. All right. I think I wrote down the wrong passage. Hold on 1 second. All right, it might be John. I should check my sources. All right, well, I'll go to read it from my paper. This is what it says. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I got. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Everything the Pharisee did, he did for the praises of man and for religious standing. You can be merciful, but do it for the wrong reasons. If you don't love mercy, then your mercy is for ill-got gain. When we love mercy, it changes how we forgive others. And that starts when we learn to love the mercy that God shows us, and how Christ, gave his life for us, and how Christ, made that sacrifice on our behalf. If we love mercy, we have been forgiven, or given, and we will share that mercy with those around us. I'm sure you all remember the story of Jesus at the at the well with a Samaritan woman, how did Jesus show her mercy? He was loving. He did it in a loving way. Rather than being, you know, mean or forceful, he was loving. He loved the woman. And even though she had, you know, had lived in sin, had done all these things wrong, he did things in a loving way. When we respond to people, when people do us wrong, or they, you know, they hurt us in a way, we need to be loving to them and give them mercy. Because the mercy that she was given by God, by Christ, you know, her life was transformed. And when we show people mercy in the correct way, in the correct mindset, their lives can be transformed as well. Thirdly, God gives us the gift of walking humbly. We should give God the gift of walking humbly. So the first two gifts was looking at those around us. The third one is looking at our heart personally. How do we live with God? Do we walk humbly with God? Do we walk humbly with God? If we want to, you know, if we want to be just or to love mercy, we have to first humble ourselves. This is probably the most important one to start with. Are you a humble person? Do you walk humbly with God? Do you, you know, constantly or consistently come to church? Do you consistently read your Bible? Do you consistently spend that time, that valuable time with the Lord? I mean, the Israelites struggled with that idea. They didn't walk humbly with God. They didn't walk with God at all, usually. I mean, but when they did, even a lot of them, the Pharisees even, I mean, they, you could say, were walking with God, but it wasn't in humility. It was in their pride and arrogance and for power and their desires. Jesus describes us in Matthew 23:23. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You would have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. See, God wants us to give gifts. It's not that he wants doesn't want us to, you know, make financial, you know, contribution. Prosper. There you go. Anyways, he wants us to, you know, to give things to God. It's not that he doesn't want that, but there's something more important than that. And it's the way we act. And that's why Jesus mentions those things. To love mercy, walk humbly, and then to be faithful. Or walk humbly with God, be faithful. And so that's what's most important. We must first walk humbly with God before we try to do any kind of religious activities. I mean, look at, especially around this time, and of course with Easter, people become so committed to the church in those, you know, couple weeks. But the rest of the year, they neglect it. I don't know if you've struggled with that in your life, but what it means to walk humbly with God is you are going to be committed to God. That no matter what's going on in your life, no matter if it's difficult, no matter if, you know, work made you work, you know, way later than you should have or that you wanted to, and you know, you're going to be tired going to work or going to church, you still need to make it a point to go and worship with God. You need to make it a point to study his word. Even though, you know, the kids are screaming and yelling and everything's falling apart, whatever it might be, that you're still going to be committed to God. You're going to walk daily with him. We need to walk humbly with our God. The Israelites, when they were searching for a gift appropriate for God, they, you know, they went straight to the physical things. You know, the thousand rams, the oils, even sacrificing of their firstborn son. You know, they basically what they did was they looked at that and they pointed out how absurd God was. How is it possible to make God happy? How can we possibly get something that is worthy of God? And they were looking at how ridiculous God was. But is God ridiculous? What does God require of us? Act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with him. That's what he wants. He doesn't want extravagant things. He doesn't want, you know, us to give all our money necessarily, yet forget to do those things. God wants us to do what is right. It's interesting how the Israelites, they mention the sacrificing their son. Because that's kind of like the climax. It's like, that's how absurd God must be, at least in their mindset. Yeah, what did God do to for us? What did he do for us? Did he not give his one and only son? You know, God's not, you know, ridiculous. He's not like expecting so many amazing or like, so much from us. He's willing to put down the ridiculous part. He's willing to lay down the things that are things we can't afford. He's willing to cover that. Romans 8:38 and 39 says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor heights nor depths nor any other created things will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." If you want to call God unreasonable, it's not that he puts unreasonable things on us. It's that in how he loves us, that we don't deserve God's love. And why would God love people like us? Why would God love people like a person like me? If God is unreasonable, it's in the amount he loves us and what he's willing to do for us, and that he was willing to sacrifice Jesus Christ, which is the whole reason for Christmas. That's why we, you know, that's why Christmas is so exciting to me, is the coming of Jesus Christ. You know, today, if you haven't walked humbly with God, if you haven't acted justly, if you do not love mercy, I encourage you to search out your heart and search out where you should be working in. What areas of your life do you need to focus on? We all have areas to improve, and you know, we all need to, as we are listing out presents for everyone, we need to put God on that list as well. What in our lives can we give God? Are we going to walk humbly with them? Are we going to love mercy? Are we going to act justly? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this day, and I thank you that Micah gave us these words that we can look and see exactly what you want from us. And as we go shopping, as we search for the perfect gift for the people we love, I pray that we will not forget what you have done for us, and that you deserve so much more than what we can possibly give. But the gifts you ask us to give are simple. Well, not simple, but are things we're able to give. They're difficult. And I pray that we will have the courage to do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.